Well, good day.
Good day.
Guess my age.
59.
59?
62.
What the hell? No, but be real.
No, really. I actually, what are you? I'm 57. I think you're 50. You've always been a year younger, right? Yeah. Or are you still, or did you pass me?
No.
It looks like you, I think you passed me.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, God, this backfired so much. Welcome to Smartless.
Smart.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Where are you going? I'm just finishing up a text here and sending. Okay.
Oh, wonderful.
Good.
Yeah. Now I'm back with
you. So glad you could come today.
And JB, we're having a little bit of an earlier start today. So I'm imagining your morning, because I know you bake in 2 hours. Baseball season is on. So you're active on the trade front. You're managing your various leagues.
Yeah, well, I've fast-forwarded through the final 6 innings of last night's game.
Right, right. Sorry.
You tape the games?
Every night.
Every one of them. I watch every
single. And he watches them at like 5 a.m.
Why don't you watch them live?
Well, I just don't get them done before I go to sleep. And so I finish them up the next morning. That's, it helps me get out of bed. I've got the rest of the game to watch. That's a reason to wake up in the morning.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Do you fast forward in between each play?
Yeah. I wait until at least one runner's on base. Preferably, I like to get somebody to get to second base before I go to.
I watch Wheel of Fortune the same way. Not even kidding. I'll fast forward through the picking of the letters until they get the puzzle
Holy
kind of
crap.
Halfway done.
Until it's something that you can figure out.
Yeah, exactly.
Sean, and does that anybody ever guess one so early that you just surprises you so much that you have a mistake with the canned cheese? Like, does it go all over your hand at that point? Like, oh,
Or do you ever point it to your temple, like as if you're trying to kill yourself, you know, and you just squeeze it all over the side of your face?
Like what is it called? Cheese whiz?
Yeah, that's it.
Cheese whiz. Yeah, yeah. So JB, so I know JB does a bake-in. So he bakes in the time. So bake-in is Dodger game speed through. Mm-hmm. Right.
And then as soon as it's over and not before, I then go to my scores, my points, how many points I've accrued on my fantasy baseball.
Coffee is accompanying all of this.
Coffee's very first.
Very first.
You know,
very
first. I need to light the fuse.
Sure.
And it's a long fuse, so it needs time to burn down into
for the
dynamite.
Bomb.
For the bomb. You need to light the fuse with coffee. I know that's why I don't drink coffee, is because I don't want to be dependent on it.
Well, it's not that bad to depend on, you know? Like, you got a half hour TikTok until the dynamite gets hit, and then off you go. You know, because if you don't have a fuse mechanism, you could find yourself leaving for your day, and then you're out in the middle of the community.
No, we know.
And
in the community. And you know what, the community.
You smell something burning, and you got to get to a bunker.
For sure, I understand.
So.
And that's unfortunate. All right, so we're back to baseball. I check my scores.
Check your scores.
And then I start doing my loop around the internet. And it's a pretty highbrow loop, you know, Will. I'm not dicking around with gossip sites. Yeah. Yeah, I'm seeing what's going on in the dumpster fire.
Actually, it's funny you say that. So this morning I had that same thing where I woke up and I did my little games with my little crew, coffee obviously accompanying it, and then.
Oh right, so so your bacon.
I'm still in that old.
Yeah, so he's still doing Wordle, Quirtle, and Octwirtle.
Yeah.
So that takes you, and the gum is as good as it sounds. Sorry, just checking real quick. How long does it take you usually to do those 3 things? 20 minutes.
It depends, because the way we play it is the winner from the day before picks the starter word that you have to use for all 3 boards the next
really
day.
Mixed it up.
Yeah.
So wait, what happens? Yesterday's winner picks the starter word.
The starter word that you have to use on all 3 boards the next day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was the...
Yeah. So today's word was sadly.
They always get you with an L-Y.
L-Y. And like, and you know, certain people like will pick dicky words to fuck you over, and it fucks themselves over too.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And a dicky word would be something that doesn't really provide a lot of vowels or a lot of consonants. Yeah.
On Easter, our pal put in bunny.
Sure.
Okay, from the night before,
and it was festive.
It's festive, but B-U-N-N-Y is a desert when it comes to that. So it really messed us up. So today, I do that, get that wrapped up. And then...
How'd you do today? You feel good about your score?
No, I did. I made a really...
Here we go, Sean. This is why I don't
really,
play anymore.
I made a really... Well, listen, here, listen here was this. Interesting. The word from yesterday was sadly. Uh-huh. And this morning, it was a word on Arcturus. So we all had a one.
Oh,
which,
really?
Which is rare. Yeah. And so... And then I was like, oh, I'm killing it. And I made one error on the third word in Arcturus.
Oh, you're doing okay?
Good, Sean, get him. What was your error, you fucking moron?
I don't even want to go into it. I actually, this is what a loser I am. I audibly went, no! Because the letter was already not supposed to be there, and I did it, and I had like a brain.
Incredible.
Anyway. But what I was going to get to is I turned on the news. I looked at some of the news online, you know, did a little search around, same sort of thing. And it was such a bummer. And I thought to myself, and it's not the first time, I thought, why am I starting myself out in a rut? Mm-hmm. Now I got to rally to die at this point. I'm so low.
Right.
Because the news is, as we know, so much of it is so depressing and sure. And I thought, by the time I stopped looking at New York Times, Bloomberg, Washington Post, all these, I thought, what's the point?
Right.
Like it's all.
So then, what's the alternative? Is maybe tweaking your algorithm such
or
that,
just not or not looking like?
Yeah, but what if you go to Instagram and you've managed to get the algorithm pointed towards, you know, unicorns and rainbows and stuff, and you get uplifting messages and all that stuff.
Sure, yeah. I think that's positive for sure. But I think that actually what I came to today was. I talked to Shawnee earlier after I got off the thing, and I talked to him. We talked about stuff, and that was good as a palate cleanser. And then I was like, you know what? I think from now on I should play my game, put my three games, put the phone down, and go outside. Like 2 days ago, because I still had jet lag, I started my little walk that you've done with me before, Loma. I started at 6:15.
This is with the ankle weights, wrist weights, leg warmers, and the weighted vest.
Weighted vest.
And weighted high vest. Elbows, right? As you're going
weighted,
up the hill.
Weighted vest. Fuck. Weighted vest with a visor and spiky hair.
And you do one of the sort of a face shield, one of those droopy masks to keep the sun off your skin.
No, I've got pharmacy, like Florida sunglasses you can put over your glasses full around. Okay? I got Walkman headphones.
Any sort of reflective material on your back so you don't get run over?
No. full sleeves. You know,
lots of waves.
Wait a minute.
But to wrap it up, I think that's the way because I feel like I was starting.
Would you try meditation? Have you ever tried meditation?
I have. I'd like to
or
do.
Just
I'd like
shutting
to do
the
more.
Fuck up. Did you ever try that?
How about that? Huh? Let's get to the guest. Thank you, Sean. What do you got for us today?
Wait, really quick. Speaking of walking last night.
Did I go on too much?
No,
you did.
Last night I was walking and I ran into, you know what a bollard is? One of those cement stoppers at the end of a street or a sidewalk.
Yeah.
And it was like, I ran.
You walked into it?
Yes.
Oh, you're talking about something that's about nard height, right?
Yes, exactly. It's just a little higher than a fire hydrant. And it was painted black.
Okay.
Why do they have them on the corner of a sidewalk?
So that people don't drive up.
It sounds like your Upper East Side. It sounds very, I know
no.
those black
No, no,
it's at, Upper
at,
West.
After I ate at the Waverly Inn restaurant.
Oh, okay. Oh. South there. Yeah. So did you catch it right in the nards?
No, right above the knee. And I couldn't, man.
That kind of hurt. Did you call Graydon Carter for a reservation?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. No.
Oh, you did
it?
Did Scotty throw you over his shoulder and walk you home?
Basically, it was right in front of a taxi, and we were saying goodbye. And I was like, I ran right into the thing with my full
leg. Let's okay.
And I was just like,
did we run?
Great time. No, I just walked right into it.
Yeah.
No. All right, let's get to it. Ready?
What's your step count today? I'm guessing 400. Sorry.
My guest today accidentally taught his 2-year-old son to say, "I'm a coward," which made me laugh when I read that. He went to Georgetown and majored in history. His father's job included tracking the hidden fortunes of dictators. After bombing at his first college comedy competition, the guy that won invited him to audition for a sketch show, and that changed the course of his life. He's voiced about 80 animated characters, for real, and the kid he met on the first day of first grade became his best friend and creative partner, helping turn their own humiliating stories about puberty into one of Netflix's longest-running scripted originals. It's the insanely funny and super talented Nick Kroll.
Oh, Nick.
Nicholas Kroll.
Get out here.
Hey, boys.
Nicholas.
Oh, he's gonna take it down.
I have not spoken yet today, and I'm listening to my voice, and that was like the first thing I've said all day.
Wouldn't it be amazing if we all had a word limit each day? Like if every person
it would be
hey, but could you imagine if you had to budget out your words for the day? That would be interesting.
That would
imagine,
be cool.
Huh? Man, welcome, Nick. Boy, you come up with some fun ideas.
Nick, you are East Coast because you've already got a smart looking jacket on.
I'm on the West Coast. I was debating on taking the jacket off before, but I'm dealing with what you guys are seeing is this center stage video where I'm going to be constantly, camera's going to be following me.
Oh, you can turn that off.
You can turn it off if you want.
I know I can. I can't figure out how. But
wait,
why do you
look so damn good already this morning?
You got a chore jacket on?
Did you have a callback earlier?
I got, it's a Lipton cup of soup. It's the 3 p.m. slump.
And did you crush it?
I felt good. I felt really good in the room.
Any feedback yet?
Supposedly they wanted better looking and older, though.
You are in the running in case they can't find
it.
Yeah, so you guys are honestly candidates.
We're the demo. We're that.
Telsey's calling.
Nick Kroll, what's up, man? It's been a long time. How are you?
I'm great. It's really good to see you guys.
Likewise.
It's been a minute.
Good to see you.
Nick, the first time I met you was at Ted Sarandos's a couple years ago at the Grammy dinner thing.
Yes.
Right?
What were you two doing at a Grammy
dinner? At the Grammy,
It was like for the comedy category.
And we
Grammys.
Were doing a duet. It was a Bette Midler and Barry Manilow thing, and they had us play for a
Who
few
played
minutes.
Bette?
Right. No, but I you were so kind, and I immediately felt this like rhythm with you, and I was like, oh, I'd love to get to know you more.
Here we go.
This is unbelievable. Every time I felt a connection with you.
Johnny.
Let me put your number in the chat. Fucking, are you joking?
Come on the pod. You should come on the pod sometime.
Let's go for lunch and wrap up how we think we did. I'm close by.
What's your story later? Because you should come on the pod. The boys let me make the choices on this all the time.
Make the choices. Wow. God, you're so smart and funny and handsome and.
Let's go on a run. You want to go for
a run?
Let's go on a run. So that was the first time that you guys had met?
I actually met you many, many, many years earlier. There was guy used to do treasure hunts around L.A.
J.P. Manu.
Yes.
Are you talking about the LARF?
That's what it was.
No, it was before Amazing Race.
I remember that.
And it was just like the Amazing Race. And this guy organized just a bunch of people to go do this around Los Angeles. It was really fun.
Yeah, so you were there, and you, like, I was just sort of starting, and you were one of the most famous people in the world.
In that group of five.
So I saw you, and I said, one day, they're going to make podcasts, and I'm going to hit on him at Ted Sarandos' party.
Wait a second. You're skipping over that you predicted podcasts.
Yeah.
Why, that's just...
No, but we had to get to Madame Tussauds to find...
That's true.
Why have those gone... Oh, wait, so...
JB, do you remember in the 90s, they these guys had a game going for a while?
Yeah, it was called LARF, and they were both out of Stanford.
There was another one where we went around, and everybody had you had a squirt gun, and it was like a game of tag around
LA. I did that as a kid.
My daughter does that as senior assassin.
All these actors, when we were in our 20s in the 90s in LA, I remember being out here for... pilot season, mid-90s, and somebody's saying, do you want to get in this thing? And people would be like at an audition at Warner Brothers, and some dude would come out of nowhere and spray him and like, yeah.
You're
and
it.
And I was like, can you imagine walking onto a lot now with a right, water gun? Well, and stuff?
So at Franny's school, so it's Senior Assassin, if you get hit with a water gun, you're out. And the only way that you can sort of protect yourself, inoculate yourself from getting some sort of a surprise hit is wearing swim goggles out in public all day, every day, or swim floaties. So you see like these students are That's all around hysterical. Town, you know, like markets and shopping centers.
That's really funny.
It's pretty cool. But the scavenger hunts things, these high-end scavenger hunts, I'm pissed that they've gone away. We should resurrect that.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Celebrity scavenger hunt.
Let's do it, guys. You guys have a lot of free time. Do you want to start getting into...
Let's do...
organizing local city scavenger hunts?
I'm going to organize it for
Nick Kroll, right. Let's get into it. You first of all, thanks for being here. And I did mean that. I just felt like a comedy connection with you. You were very funny right off the bat, and I felt like I'd known you. But anyway...
Well, he's a nice guy, and he's funny.
He's a very nice guy.
What's not to get a rhythm with?
So wait, is that true? 80 voices? 80? 80?
I think so. That's what I think so.
And is it like if I threw out names, could you? You don't want to do that?
I probably could. I mean, I'm a monkey. I'll give you what you need.
Let's get those numbers.
Okay, folks.
I'm gonna do a look. I read Gunter from Sing and Sing Too.
Oh, yeah, this is Gunter from Sing. It's Major P.G. Power.
Okay,
nothing makes me laugh quicker than a German accent.
What about Douche from Sausage Party?
Douche was, come at me, bro. It was that sort of, that guy.
Okay, no, but wait. Do Douche from Sausage Party.
Okay, so wait.
Douche from Sausage Party, we did, that's the Rogan movie, and I did the whole thing as like a sort of a British villain, like a, you know, the classic Disney British, like Jafar kind of voice, and then, or like a Scar from Lion King, and it just wasn't working, and we did one last record where they rewrote it as that character was kind of a, this character did Bobby Bottle Service, who was kind of,
I remember Bobby Bottle Service. Nick, you did your series on Netflix.
Big Mouth.
Yeah. And so we got to clear the air on this. Do you know what I'm getting? You know what I'm getting at?
Of course.
What?
So we've never talked about it. So for years, people have commented me, hit me in the thing, talked to me in real life. I've been in line at the store. Do you do the voice of, there's a character on your show that people thought was me?
His name is Maury, the hormone monster.
Is that what it is?
Everybody thinks it's Arnett.
Yeah.
It's
I can't tell you how many people have...
And that's you, Nick?
It's me. Arnett. No, okay, so here's the backstory here. Let's clear the air on this.
Let's clear it, finally.
Finally. We did the show Big Mouth. It's about kids going through puberty. And my friend Andrew Goldberg, who Sean mentioned, I met in first grade. We created the show together. He had been at Family Guy for years. We've been friends forever. And he and Mark and Jen, our other partners, came to me with an idea about an animated show about kids, about me and Andrew at 13 going through puberty.
Yeah.
And immediately it was like, great, I really see this show. So we started working on it. And Andrew started talking about it. He's like, you know, and like, I think my guy, who he was a really early developer, you know, he just hit puberty at like 5 and had a full beard by 8, you know?
Yeah.
And he was sort of like, I think my character was like, with something encourages him to jerk off. Like, he's got like a hormone monster. And I literally was like,
touch yourself, Andrew.
And it was like, that was the voice. Because I've been doing this guy, Nash Rickey. I had a sketch show called Kroll Show, and Nash Rickey was sort of like a hair metal guy who was also like, had OCD and...
Yeah. Wait, was Pete Giles part of that?
Yes, Pete Giles was part of that, yes.
Yeah.
We had a song called L.A. Deli, and it was just about all the delis in L.A., like California girls. Because all those guys like hung out at, you know, fucking Cantors and all that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I did this voice, Nash Rickey. So then we go to do Big Mouth, we develop it, we make it, it comes out. I've known Will forever. Will is on the air with BoJack at this, like, so...
Same time, yeah.
The same time, BoJack is, like, the premier fucking animated show. It never crossed my mind that anyone would be like, is that Arnett? And then we start the show, and it works, and everybody's like...
Can't believe you got Arnett.
You sound like Arnett.
Nick, I'm honestly, I can't tell you how many people over the years, I'm like, no, it's not. I think it's, I didn't know if it was you, but I was
that's
like,
so funny.
I think it's Kroll. It's just.
Is that show still going?
No, we did eight seasons.
That's remarkable.
We did more of those than basically any other scripted Netflix show. I think besides Ozark. How many have you guys done now? 140? Are you guys at 140?
It felt like 140. No, it was four and a half, maybe, seasons?
Seasons, yeah.
Anyway, so we did it, and we're about to put out a new show called Mating Season. It's the same team who
that
made
looks
Big
so
Mouth.
Great.
What's a premiere on that, Sean? What's a premiere date?
Oh,
host?
God. I need to look it up.
I jumped it. I got fucking...
I have to scroll tight on the bottom. Later. Scrolling.
When is it, Nick?
Guys, I'm so sorry.
Check
the
chat. Maybe Michael Grantieri sent it to you.
Oh, my God. I can tell you. I don't even
double
know.
Double back at the end, Sean.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
And now, back to the show.
Kroll, so I know you, so I feel like the first time I saw you was at UCB over 20 years ago. I think the first time we met, you were maybe doing monologues at ASCAT one night.
Yes, I think that would make sense.
Like early 2000s.
Yeah.
And you were so funny. It was one of those, like the first time I saw you, I was like, oh, this dude is fucking hilarious.
Thank you.
Like right out of the gate.
So
and then you just went on to do, what I love is that you went on, and you and Mulaney did so much cool stuff. Mm-hmm. You did a show on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
You did sketches. You've just done, what I love is how many different kinds of things you have done.
Constantly.
You do stand up, you do all of it. And do you now at this point go like, oh, it feels too spread out, I want to concentrate on this? Because I know you just did a stand-up special.
Yeah.
I just watched it. It's so good.
Is that kind of where you want to go, or do you feel like you still want to just do millions of different things?
I mean, I like what I'm shooting for is like a B- across the board.
Yeah.
You can shoot for a B-, you can do so much.
Sure.
You
know what I mean?
You never disappoint yourself.
You don't shoot too high. Uh-huh. You stay general and broad, and then nobody can attack you for fully committing to anything.
That's such a great call. I know that.
It's all about longevity.
It's all about just staying right in the middle for as long as possible, and then they can't. Don't get too tall.
The three of us, JB, you, me, and Kroll, did that animated show with Mitch Hurwitz.
Sit Down, Shut Up. That was very, that was, it was literally right after Arrested. And it was us and Forte.
I want to watch that again. I remember the animation being hilarious.
What a cast that had.
Yeah, I'm playing a character I would not currently play, I don't think.
Copy that.
Please explain.
His name was Andrew Legustambos, and it was a Legustambos. He was a bisexual Latin teacher.
Yeah.
I love that you remember his name. But literally, if you started that today, do you think that today's culture would attack as much as it did, let's say, even 6 months to a year ago?
No, I think everything is... I feel like things are kind of settling. I mean, I don't think I would play that character right now, but I do think things are settling a bit. Like, all of that stuff that I think we're finding different levels now to it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And I wonder why. I mean, the issues haven't gone away, but maybe the tolerance and the... exploration of finding humor in things that are more challenging is more around. I don't know.
I think there's polarizing views of it, but I think there's a general attempt to be more thoughtful about what we're doing or how we're doing it.
Sure.
And if you're generally more thoughtful, then I think there's a little more room for different versions of people playing different versions of people, I think, in that way, you know?
Yeah. I think also there's
interesting.
We have to pay more attention to intent, you know?
Yeah.
And if the intent is to injure or to sideline or to
minimize,
be hurtful,
or ridicule, yeah,
then there's no room for it. And
let's save that for our personal friendships, right?
Okay, yeah, of course.
Exactly.
And family.
Yeah, exactly. Let's leave family out of this.
Wait, so Nick, when you first started out, I mentioned in the intro, you bombed freshman year in comedy competition.
Yeah.
And the guy who won and then gave you the opportunity was Mike Birbiglia, right?
Yes.
No way.
Yes,
oh, exactly. No way.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, that's crazy.
Where was
we
this?
We did this. It was at Georgetown. We did this thing called the funniest act on campus. And I'd never done comedy before in any real capacity. And there were, you know, just like flyers up.
Yeah.
And I went and did it. I was really nervous about it. And I just, I showed up and my whole bit was that I was going to get on stage and go, you know, I thought I'd be so nervous, but I'm super relaxed. And then I was going to piss my pants. Like that was the bit.
That's a great bit.
It's a good bit, right?
It's a really good bit.
Except I did not prepare. I was like, you know, I was a freshman.
Did you drink enough water?
I was just like so nervous that I showed up and I was going to bring like a water balloon and a pen and like pop the water. You know what I mean? But I forgot all of it. So I grabbed like a sandwich bag in the trash and grabbed a pen and just got on stage and just like jammed.
Over and over.
The pen into this like water bag in my pocket. So it just looked like I was
jerking
off on stage basically, which is what I've been doing ever since. But Mike had like a solid 5 minutes as like a sophomore and he won the competition and got to start hosting at the DC Improv. And then he was doing a sketch show later that year and invited me to audition. And I did that audition and then got cast and we went to like a kid's apartment on campus and read all these sketches. And I it was truly the one time in my life I walked out of that thing. I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it. This is what I want to do.
Because what were you studying at Georgetown at the time?
I was studying history and minoring in art and Spanish, just kind of like coasting on privilege.
Those didn't goose you?
waiting for something to hit you to do, or were you going to make a career out of history?
I was gonna, I don't know. I think I was just, I truly was coasting. You know, I just was like, I liked history because I think I liked telling stories. But I think I was still scared to like write. And, you know, so English didn't feel entirely safe. And then we started doing, and so I auditioned for that sketch show. And we literally then went we did our sketch show. It was like, we rehearsed for 3 months to do one night in Bulldog Alley on campus. And the show was, I mean, we bombed, but I met all these guys who I continue to know and work with still, including Birbiglia. And then UCB was just about to come on the air and they came down to GW and did a show at GW. It was like a big improv festival. And it was the first time I saw those guys. And my mind fully exploded.
Did they do Bucket of Truth? Were they doing
Bucket
that?
Of Truth? And
what's Bucket of Truth?
It was Little Donnie. Remember Donnie's? It was like Besser had the sketch as little kid with a huge guy.
Yeah.
And but I saw that, and then moved to the city that summer, or started going to the city. We did it at a workshop at UCB, Will, you know Owen Burke.
You guys all
know Owen. Owen was my brother's roommate in college, and Owen had just started at UCB. So I started going to UCB, started going to ASCAT as a fan, you know, as like a, and could not believe what I was seeing.
I agree. I had the same, first of all, I had the same sensation. I saw them do Bucket of Truth in 1996. They just moved from Chicago.
Can you tell me what Bucket of Truth is?
It was a sketch show that they did.
Okay.
They did it downstairs at the West Bank on 42nd Street, the restaurant. They had that little space down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? And it was Walsh and Amy and Besser and Ian Roberts. And I was like, what the fuck? Like watching what these guys did. So I loved it. And then they started doing it. They started doing Ask At It, that other place, Solo Arts on 17th Street before they moved into their theater. And I would go every Sunday. And JB, you remember my old roommate, Duff. I had lived with Duff and I had been roommates years. You know Duff too, right?
I know Duff, a little bit.
Yeah.
Through Owen and
Owen.
Brother,
and so I said to Owen and Duff, I go, you guys got to, I said, let's go to this thing and see these guys. And Owen came along to...
Oh, wow.
I brought him to his first UCB show, and he ended up as artistic director of UCB. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. Wild. Huh?
Owen Burke.
Yeah, that is wild.
Funny,
yeah.
good man. And that was sort of... So I started coming, and we would go, and I was, you know... I went to Solo Arts once or twice and saw all those shows, and then would go to the theater at 22nd Street and, like, sit on the side, you know, wait, mm-hmm. sit on the side and look up, and it was like all these people, you know, who were... You know, who were just popping on Conan and...
Oh, it's like Glazer and Tina and McKay would be there and all those guys.
Yeah, it just was like... And as soon as I... Literally, as soon as I saw it, the first... Did that sketch, little sketch show, and then joined the improv group my sophomore year. I was like, done. I'll do... Back to sort of what you're saying, I was like, I'll do anything. Get me close to this... I'll do anything.
But to speak more about, you know, because I'm always fascinated with people at that age where you need to, or you think you need to, commit to a career, and you have to mm-hmm. really think about making rent and feeding yourself, and like you're out from the nest at home, and and so you're at this opportunity, an incredible university. Mm-hmm. You haven't really picked an occupation, an industry, a path. Mm-hmm. At what point did you feel like, oh, okay, there's enough momentum going in this lane where I need not continue to consider other means of support?
Well, for me, after Silver Spoon, I just wanted to have fun.
Spoon.
You know what I mean? After the spoon.
But singular.
This is why I'm so curious about it, because it was like I'd had this momentum since I was a little kid, but I still, at 18, I thought, well, is it going to last? I should study something else that's a little bit more reliable.
Well, so going back, so the other thing, my connection to Jason a bit is that you're originally from Rye, right? Or your family?
Yeah, yeah,
I'm from Rye, New York.
Oh, no
as well.
Way.
Yeah. So, you know, I grew up with plenty of privilege. So I went to, I never had, like, the privilege was that I could sort of be like, what do I want to do? And I went to college and I started, and I, you know, school was never exactly my thing. I was fine at it.
Right.
But as soon as I started doing improv and comedy and sketch, I was like, I'll do anything. Like, I'll print, you know, like, I'll go anywhere at any hour to get this done. And when I moved to New York, I did have the privilege of knowing that I could fall back. Like, if it didn't work, I could go get a job somewhere. Like, it was going to be okay.
Yeah.
But it was the thing I feel so lucky about is that I had such a clear. I knew as soon as I started doing it, this is all I wanted to do. And any work now, the question of whether I was going to make it is the intangible.
Right.
But I think the idea for me was like, well, I'm going to regret the fuck out of this if I don't try.
Right.
You recognize that it was something that really fed your soul, that you were decent at it. You liked the attaboys, and it was sort of self-perpetuating.
Yeah. And it's never waned. At least for me.
Which is interesting because JB, you do have that as well. At the same time, this was your thing since before you can remember doing anything else, really, since you were a little kid. There was never like, hey, I'm going to try my hand at this. You were in it. You were always in it, right? I mean, I don't mean to say that you... Yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm not saying that you didn't have a choice, but that was your... In a lot of ways, it was your job. It became your passion.
Yeah, I had realized that I was halfway decent at something before I needed to have something that I was halfway decent at. And so that was
And I think for you, so on that...
And you were cute as a button.
Nick, stop it.
God,
let's
were
get
you
our rhythm
cute.
Going.
Number in the chat.
Oh, no. Yeah. Not another rhythm connection.
Wait, you guys, I run too.
Enough. But JB, you had that second gear for you. The thing that you found was when directing and seeing you light up at this stage of your life when you talk about directing is the same way I think that I certainly did. And Nick, the way you describe it, discovering this thing where you go, oh, I love this. I got to do this. I'll print flyers. I'll do whatever it takes.
True.
You kind of have it for directing.
Yeah.
Right? Like 10, 12 years ago or 15 years ago.
Right. And like anyone out there, you know, if you were lucky enough to get paid a little bit to do something that you would pay somebody else to do, right? Because you love it so much. That's the sort of fuel that can really travel you into success and longevity, and instead of just punching a clock, you know, if it's for something that really is passionate.
Nick, just quickly, did you do, because you worked with a lot of great people. We mentioned Mitch Hurwitz and obviously Mulaney. You've had a lot of great partners and collaborators. Mm-hmm. Another funny dude that we know that we all connect with is John Levenstein, who worked, worked on Cole Show.
Yeah.
Super, super funny.
One of the funniest, most bizarre men in the world.
I know. Sweetest men, too.
And honestly, I just have to say it, since we just mentioned it, the Cole Show is one of my favorite shows of all time.
Thank you, Sean.
Truly, I mean.
So it's so funny. And Levenstein was a big part of that, right?
Yeah, he was the showrunner, and he had come. We hired him. I mean, I met him doing this cartoon called Life and Times of Tim.
Oh,
that
yeah.
ended up on HBO. That was like, and Giles, that's how I met Giles.
Also with Pete Giles.
Yeah, that's how I met Giles originally. Which
Sweet
made,
Pete Giles.
Which, yeah, and one of the great voices. Talk about you think we got some gravel. That motherfucker.
Pete Giles. You can catch him. You can hear him every once in a while.
Yeah. You know, or
it's the World Series on Fox.
Yeah.
It's Pete Giles.
Hey, by the way, Jason, I'm so sorry Zootopia didn't work out. Next time on the VO stuff. They can't all be winners on the VO stuff. So
I do envy what you guys can do with VO. I still feel like I'm just leaving voicemail messages. I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing.
Jason, I forgot to tell you, last week I was out east and I was out for dinner with my little guy Denny, who's 5. And there's a couple sitting next to us, and they're talking about, and they've got like a 7-year-old girl, and they're talking about Zootopia, and my guy Denny goes, I saw Zootopia too. And they're like, we love Zootopia too. And he goes, and he comes up and he goes, Dad, can I tell him? And I go, tell him what? He goes, about Jason. And I go, sure. And he goes, my dad's friend Jason is the voice of Nick. My son is 5. It was so sweet.
How about I'm just excited that he knows my name.
I know.
Isn't that
sweet?
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Nick, can I ask about growing up? Because we touched on that a little bit, mm-hmm. and I think it's fascinating. And this is when I read this, I laughed out loud that you grew up in Rye, New York, mm-hmm. and your parents sent a limo to pick you up from school. Is that every day?
No. Every once in a while.
When you're good.
So it wasn't.
That made me laugh out loud when I read that. I'm like, is that true?
Yeah, it was like Different Strokes, right? Like you just.
Yeah, exactly. It's true.
But what happened to all those limos? You remember we used to see stretch limos everywhere. Where did they go?
I kind of thought about bringing it back this year when we went to the big award show the other.
Oh my god, that'd be so funny.
I thought, wouldn't it be funny to pull up to like the Academy Awards in a white stretch limo?
Oh my god. God. Where they went, literally, like, I guess scrap metal yards, or do they put
they're
them
Waymos
on a container
now.
Ship
they're all
and,
Waymos.
Like,
they're
send
all...
them to Eastern
Wait,
Europe?
Wait, so, Nick, I mean, you...
They're all playing in Europe.
You talked about playing in Europe. That's a great joke. So you had to... There were occasions where you had to be driven to school. It is what it is.
My dad, it's like a... The internet is real, loves to speculate on my dad, his business, fascinating business, fascinating man,
of course.
Built incredible business.
Do you guys, Jay, do you know about his dad?
No, please share.
Yeah.
I didn't either, and when I read about it, Nick, I understood 10% of it. So can you
arms
please
dealer, drug dealer, what is it?
Consultants.
He deals drugs. He dealt drugs to arms dealers.
Got it. That's lucrative.
Because it's two different, you got to find the guy who's going to come in between them. Was that what that Jonah Hill movie was about? Those guys, remember the movie?
Oh, yeah, I like that movie.
With Nick Cage?
War Dogs.
Yeah. Oh, yes, War Dogs. Was that they were doing?
I want to see that.
He built this. He sort of did the larger umbrella would be like risk mitigation. So like it started as like corporate investigations, due diligence, and during the 80s it was like Wall Street takeover, private, all those like hostile takeovers, like doing of all like Ivan Bosky and all those kinds of characters, and then it was. Dictators like Saddam, like the Kuwaiti government hired him to find Saddam Hussein's money.
Wow.
Baby Doc Duvalier in Haiti and the Marcoses.
Hello, Baby Doc Duvalier. Now you're really going into it.
Me and Mulaney were trying to write a movie.
Baby Doc handles Kimmel, handles Fallon, handles Colbert, right?
Yeah. James Dixon, Baby Doc. Baby Doll. That's Baby Doll. That's Baby Doll, James. Wait a second, Nick. Did Duff write a book about your dad's company?
He may have, yes. He may have at some point, yes.
Yeah.
And so he, and then he, you know, he's gone on to to continue to sort of work in various versions of that business. And he and my brother have a company called K2 now, which continues to do different versions of investigations and risk mitigation and security
and
stuff
skis
like that.
Too.
And they make great skis. I know everybody out there likes slalom.
Hey, but Nick, you know, I do want to say, and I'm glad you talked about it, because you didn't decide what your dad did or how you were born or what,
right.
and your dad started a company and he was successful at what he did.
Yeah.
And so I like that you just, you talk about it openly, because what the fuck are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right? You don't need to apologize.
The internet will find you.
No, I know, but why, you don't need to apologize for where you came from. What are you supposed to do?
Right, exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like I got real lucky. I got dealt a real good hand.
Of course you did, but as I've said, I've known you 25 years. You work really hard. You create a lot of stuff. You create a lot of stuff on your own. You didn't have family in show business, and you did it all through hard work and talent.
Right.
So,
thanks,
you know, fuck everybody. Yeah.
But that sounds really fascinating. Like,
get them to investigate Bateman, please.
The kinds of, no.
Just look into it. Just look into it. But Jason, why do you keep going to Grand Cayman? Answer that.
Listen, these people are so
kind. You're doing
kind
the firm cosplay.
Yeah.
But yeah, the kind of connections and know-how he's got.
Yeah,
I just,
incredible.
That's like up there with, if I could pick a new career, if I could go back in time, if I was like 17, and I would like to get recruited by the CIA. I would love
You have CIA vibes written all over you.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to be somebody in my mid-50s, I'm in my late 50s now, that is still, I would like to be able to hold that secret from, because you're not supposed to be able to tell
from your family
or your right. I mean, if you're really good,
you want to hold more secrets from your family.
Yeah, I've got a little more room. I found a little more room on my drive.
Wait,
on
Jimmy, my RAM drive. Jimmy, we just went through your morning routine. You think that you're CIA ready? Are you fucking kidding?
No, that's what you do in the CIA. You watch the end of a Dodger game.
Yeah. No way, this guy's a spy. Look how dumb he is.
They're like, how do we kill that Bateman agent? He's at the golf club.
We'll be right back.
And now back to the show.
Were you going to say, Nick, were you going to say you and Mulaney were working on a script about it or no? Was that what you were going to say?
We were working on a script. It was we sold a movie called Most Glorious Friend. And it was, you know those like Nigerian email, Prince email scams?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They're fucking scams?
Yeah. Oh, Willie.
The premise of the movie was like, this was this time it was real. And it was going to be Tracy Morgan as the deposed dictator of a country called Lyrobia. And his name is Lil Mo. And that was so like a couple college kids respond to the email. And then like Tracy Morgan shows up being like, where's my money? Mm-hmm. And we pitched it out with Tracy. It was genuinely very I was probably structurally. I mean, we had no idea what we were doing. We were just sat there reading Save the Cat by the chapter and then trying to write off of that.
Save the Cat is a screenwriting book.
That's so fun. That's such a fun taking. Schur and I worked on this thing years ago, Mike Schur, we called The Ambassador about the. Basically, he's too dumb to kill. He's the son of a senator, and they make him envoy to the EU to ruin all their trade deals. And then he's like getting chased, like Bourne, but he doesn't realize he's being chased. He keeps going, go around.
Oh, you both, all three of you guys could be spies. You guys should be like 50s, the worst spies, post Cold War spies.
Right. I like
spies
being there.
Spies like you.
Spies like us.
Yeah, spies like us. But it's just how it's pronounced at the end.
This made me laugh too, because Big Mouth is about, like you said, you and your friend at puberty, 13 years old. But I read your sister Vanessa is now a professional puberty educator.
Yeah.
What does that even mean? What does that mean?
So, yeah, my sister Vanessa is a, she became an expert in puberty. She started a thing called Dynamo Girl a number of years ago, and it's like after school program for sports for girls. And then as she was teaching these young girls, like they, as they got older and started going through puberty, she realized that there was just a ton of, there was just like a empty spot in that, in sort of the education around that, right. And like having parents and kids understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a crazy synergy. But I think it just speaks to a little bit of, I guess, our experience. You know, she's 2 years older than me, of going through that period of life together. It was of interest. Like, we had those books. You like, What's Happening to Me? You know, those like groovy 70s books with like... Right. Body drawings of the body, and so we were.
Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret.
All of that stuff, I think, loomed Judy large Brown. For us, and so it became an interest for both of us. She's kind of a writing about parenting and that kind of stuff. She's got 4 kids.
And then is she the one? Who's the one married to the men? One of the men in Blazers.
That's my sister Vanessa's married to Roger Bennett from Men in Blazers.
Oh wow! Yeah, I know those. I love those guys. Yeah.
That's
cool.
And all your siblings, there's 4 of you. Are you all funny people? Like, are you all...
I think so. I don't know how it works in your family, but like, I think it's pretty rare that someone comes out of a family that isn't also, if they're funny, that isn't also funny.
Right.
My brother's really funny, and my sister's, I think there was in the family, there was a sense of humor.
Did you guys get it from mom or dad?
They're both pretty funny. My dad's funny. And my mom's got a very good sense of humor. Especially having to deal with me tell jokes about moms. Like she, you know, she's like, people tell me, am I upset about the jokes about moms? And I'd say, I'm not.
Okay. They're both fair enough. Game, huh?
Yeah. That's so funny.
It's a funny family, I think. But me kind of being like, no, I'm going to go be a comedian.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, huh. There was definitely, it wasn't like, well, of course you're going to, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know Jimmy Vallely.
Yes.
Jimmy Vallely used to
another Rested guy.
Yeah, another Rested. The great Jimmy Vallely, who's one of the all-time, one of the all-time funniest and has jokes that nobody else can think of that are just truly. So, God, I fucking love Jimmy Vallely. Anyway, he used to always say, he'd say like, you know, if you come, we were talking about somebody, he said, yeah, this guy sort of came from a good family. He goes, he had more to lose. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, in a way, he could have been a lawyer. He went to a good school and stuff, and he risked it all to do this. If you come from nothing, you got nothing to lose.
100%.
Right. Yeah. And I go, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. I never looked at it that way.
It's so true, yeah.
Well, Nick, you're so multi-talented, and you've done so many different jobs in the structure of things. Mm-hmm. How do you decide what to do next? And like, what would the perfect next 5 years look like? I mean, I don't know how strategic you are. I imagine, and I don't mean that as a pejorative, you know, like it takes a certain amount of planning to get things done in this business.
Yeah. I mean, he's got Roommates out April 17th. He's got Mating Season on May 22nd.
Sean finally got it. Yeah. Sean finally
found the email. 100% with Sam Richardson and Vanessa. And that's another Netflix show. I mean, you have tons of stuff coming out. It's so exciting.
By the way, Nick, you need to know that Scotty was just off camera going, I just bumped it up in your email. Okay, so just...
He just held up dates.
Scotty was like, do you want me to stop warming the cupcake and get you your dates?
Hotmail.com/mail.
Can we?
We actually met it on Hotmail. Anyway, so that's just a little joke, just a small joke. It wasn't Sarandos' party, it was on Hotmail.
It was Hotmail, M-A-L-E.
And there just felt like a comedy connection there.
Yeah.
So my strategy is I keep, and I feel like, honestly, you guys all also do a lot and produce a lot. Like, I keep a number of balls in the air that are all at different stages of development. Yeah. And so... You know, I think Mating Season is the follow-up to Big Mouth, and it's about animals dating and fucking and falling in love in the woods. So it feels like a natural sort of progression of that. I've been working with my partners, Mark and Andrew and Jen, on that. It's me, Zach Woods, June Diane Raphael, and Sabrina Jalise. It's like
Fun
hangout, kind of in the vein of like an animated version of Friends or I can't remember any of the other NBC shows.
Can't
must see TV, but you know
can't
that either. Sort of yeah. that genre. That's
no,
right.
No, I mean there, none really.
Oh, Seinfeld.
Stuck.
There was Seinfeld.
Yes,
yeah,
Seinfeld. Yeah, Seinfeld. Right. Wings. Yeah. Wings. You're thinking of Wings.
Wings was great. Yeah. I love Wings. It's a big influence. Yeah. And
Single Guy. You're thinking of Single Guy.
Single Guy. Of course, the single guy.
That's yeah. what you're thinking of.
Yeah, Caroline in the City.
Caroline.
Oh, but then there was that show with the gay guys. Two guys in a Frasier on a pizza place.
Two girls. Oh, right, oh, at Frasier.
Who's some buddies?
That was ABC.
Frasier. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's about it. I guess that's yeah. that was that must see TV stuff.
Yeah.
But
to wrap that up. Yeah.
But yeah. you're like in this ideal position of really kind of being your own boss and self perpetuating, and you've got this great sort of troop of collaborators and colleagues and
for sure.
Right. Is it as ideal as it sounds?
It really, honestly, I really feel it right now. It really is. I feel incredibly, it's at a time when the business is tricky and things are going away and there's contraction. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I'm currently getting to make a bunch of different things it feels amazing. Like, and I'm writing right now, we're writing 100% here in LA. And it's me, Mantzoukas, Jason Mantzoukas, Sam Mantzoukas. Richardson, Vanessa Bayer. And it's in the world of kind of like self-help influencer gurus. So we're writing that. We're going to shoot over the summer. And that's and then I'm producing some other stuff, animated and live action. So it's great. What the strategy you were talking about, Jason, I have two kids. I got a 5-year-old and a 2.5-year-old.
No
and
way.
So
oh, that's
the congrats. Stuff that starts to play into like how do I do this and how do I be also home and around sure. and involved so that yeah. so the opportunities like it's like how can I set myself up as well as I can for opportunities that I get to have some modicum of control over
right
like where
and be in Los Angeles too
right yeah. that's I mean right. That's what's you guys
right now
know.
They can travel with you, but soon that 5-year-old is going to be stuck in school and you won't be able to pop around.
He doesn't want to be. If it's any consolation, he doesn't want to be in school. So we might.
Does he want to okay. be? Does he want to be homeschooled, or he's just like
he wants
I don't
to
need
kite
it.
Surf? He just yeah. wants to do. You know what
oh,
I mean?
That's fine. That's he wants to man, that's
free.
Dope.
He Let likes him. To free solo. He saw that free solo doc, and he just wants to go climb.
That's hilarious.
This is that's very dangerous, Nick, for a child.
I know. But we gotta it's let lucrative. Them. But we gotta let that. It's lucrative. You can first. You can get that. You and Jason knows. You gotta sure. get to work. Gotta get yeah, yeah. these kids to work.
So Nick, what you so speaking about a kid, you grew up conservative Jewish in a conservative Jewish kosher household. So no
yeah, yeah.
dishes for separate dishes for meat and dairy stuff. But I read oh, wow. that you had one junk food day a year growing
oh,
up
yeah.
when you'd eat.
Oh yeah.
And then what was the other thing I read about food that you did? Oh, that you fall asleep listening to a hypnotherapy tape telling you not to eat snacks?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I went to a hypnotherapist to...
Did it work?
To quit smoking. You guys all went to fucking Kerry Gaynor at some point, right? Did you ever go to Kerry Gaynor to quit smoking?
Nobody can cure me.
I just Iceman did.
Nobody can cure me. She's my enemy.
I'm unstoppable.
There's nothing that will come between me and my darts.
I would love to see that Western, a little spaghetti Western of you versus a cigarette in a standoff. Both of you.
No, we're on the same team. We're not against each other.
So listening to those tapes at night, was this back in the day when we were told that you could learn languages from just listening to the people speak to you
yeah,
when you're
sleeping? Yeah, I went to Kerry Gaynor and he was like, you know, you'd go to his you'd go to his garage in yeah. Santa Monica and there's like a sun-faded picture of Katherine Heigl. And you're like, she was here at some point. And we think, we hope. So I used him to quit smoking, and then I got this woman from the Deepak Chopra Institute, and it was like this woman. She called me, and I talked to her about snacks, and then she like my because I just was you know like we it's got to go somewhere, right? It's got to go fucking go somewhere.
Right.
So if you can't smoke cigarettes, like give me some goddamn. Like, you know, Sour Patch Kids. Give me some fucking yeah. chips.
Right?
Give me
right.
something.
I'm the same way.
So she's just recommending snacks?
No, she would make the snacks. She would be like, she would make the snacks. She's like, what do you find disgusting? And again, using the German, a different version. You. I can turn that up like five different levels, and I got a couple different
make her more
pitches
aggressive.
Put on it.
Do you find poop videos disgusting?
People ask the questions.
You're like, I think I got the wrong number.
So, but she would equate something like maggots are disgusting. So imagine that your jelly bellies are maggots and they are going to, you know, it's in my stand-up. I do it. I can't remember any jokes anymore. but anyway, so I would listen to it when I'd go to bed and it worked for a while. But now, God damn it, I want to eat chocolate pretzels all day long.
Yeah, of course.
Well, what if you just cut out the weed? You know, if you cut out the weed, then you don't get snacky at night.
Ooh, we cut out the weed, we cut out the wee.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got to be able to relate, my friends.
last thing that I think is really fascinating that I did not know is Harry Styles helped you plan your proposal to your wife, Lily?
No way. I'm a big Harry Styles fan.
How did that happen?
We were making that movie, Don't Worry, Darling, and which I think is most famous for the movie. And it was the height of COVID.
I'll tell you what, that Olivia Wilde knows how to direct a film.
She really sure does.
What a talent!
Amazing,
truly. Yeah. She directed. Yeah. I played her husband in the movie, and so it was really fun to act with her. Like, I mean, you guys, it's like when you act with someone who's directing. You know, it's different levels. And she was great. I mean, it was the height of COVID. I was proposing to my wife. We were, and Harry sort of like, we were planning it out. We had just done the table read and we were all hanging out. And I was sort of figuring it out. And my wife and I just moved into our new house. So I like, you know, I had a box. And I was like, can you just move this last box? And she was like, give me a fucking break. You know what I mean? You're going to make me move the fucking box? You know? I was like, I don't know, Harry. So no, she opened the box. There's a bunch of flowers in the ring. But Harry, and then
that's so cool.
He checked in with me to be like, how'd it go? So I told him basically before I spoke to we spoke to our families to let them know that we were married because he had been checking in.
That's so cool. That's so cool. What a story. I mean, that's really, really cool.
Sweet boy. Yeah.
Nick Kroll, you are a pleasure. A joy.
I can't believe how quickly this hour went. It's bananas.
I know.
Yeah.
It's a real sprint.
Yeah. I just want to say, I've loved so many things that you've done. I just watched
Numbers in the
Little
Chat.
Big Boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I watched Little Big Boy. It was so fucking funny. And then,
how far are you from Larchmont? Is that where you're going?
No. Cavemen.
I thought that was one of the funniest shows
I'd ever seen. And it was six episodes. I left
with
based
Will
on the
and
Geico
jo-
character.
With Will and Josh.
Yeah, with Will and Josh.
You guys had just done Blades of Glory. And then I was in four hours of prosthetics. That was my first job. I was in 4 hours of prosthetics every morning to be one of the cavemen.
It's so funny.
But I wasn't in the commercials. And everyone hated the show. They loved the commercials.
Right.
Everyone was like,
I love the show.
The critics hated the show, but what I always took solace in was that the public hated it as well. We got canceled. We shot 13. I was in 4 hours every morning. It was the worst. It was my first job, and it was the worst job and perfect first. You know what I mean?
Thank
fucking God. There's no way I could have done it later in my life. So it's so funny that you like that show.
I love that show. And then publicity, of course.
Yeah, I'm the
publicity. You as Liz. Hey, Jay, have you ever seen him play Liz from Publicity? From the Kroll Show.
No.
I'm going to send you a bunch of clips. It's crying laughing.
It's like every you've dealt with.
I mean, as a gay guy, I would kill to play Liz. I mean, great.
Thank you.
Well, we want more Nick Kroll.
Yeah, no kidding.
In everything and anything.
I'm stoked for your new show.
Thank you.
How much fun you had today as Liz.
Oh my God, you guys, being on this podcast with you, one of the most coveted slots that any publicist could just secure a spot. Spotify top 20, Apple top 20, the history, the camaraderie, the friendship, the absolute money grab that this podcast is for everybody involved.
It's
an honor to behold and to be held by you guys. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Nick. Love you to death.
Thank you, Nick. So good to see you, man. Brilliant.
Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks for doing this.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.
That's the funny, funny Nick Kroll, yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny, and I love that he showed up to play, and he, I mean, he's so...
Always. Funny. He's always ready to play.
Yeah, he's, and look, clearly, he's got 80,000 things going on.
But how great are these interviews when they feel like 5 minutes, and like
I know.
You never get to your questions, you know, right. Just because the conversation's so good.
That was so, right? That was so quick.
He's a good fellow, that guy. I do send me some of that stuff, Sean.
I will,
and then I'll go down like a YouTube hole.
Send me some of those bits.
Right after my toilet. He's in full drag as Liz. It's so funny. I mean, the balls the guy has just to do anything.
Kroll Show, there were so many amazing sketches on that
amazing
show.
Amazing sketches, yeah. That's not,
yeah, I should probably
but
start
he
there.
Did have. He said he did play that one character.
Here it is. Yeah, yeah, the teacher from Sit Down, Shut Up. Yeah. What was the thing you remember about that teacher? Fuck, here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah, the character was bisexual.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Bennett Barbaco, Michael Grant Terry, and Rob Armjarf.
Smart. Less.